This is The Science Show on RN, where we also like to count flies. Are they moving south as temperatures climb? This is being tracked by Carla Scrow and Vanessa Kellerman at Monash University in Melbourne. But can the flies adapt to higher temperatures too?
So what I've found is tropical species in generally don't seem to have the genes necessary to evolve climate variables. We've also found that not many species have actually evolved high heat resistance, which might suggest that heat resistance generally might limit species distributions in the future.
So tell me, are these changes, even though it's only 1 degree per century so far, is that change too fast for them already?
Well, that is what some of my research actually aims to look at. So we're interested in two evolutionary processes. There's changes in genes, and this is often considered to be a slower process. We're also interested in something else which is called plasticity. It's just about being very flexible in your response. So it's changes within a lifetime of an individual. Some people have made predictions that this response could buffer species from climate change. So some of my research is actually looking at whether or not species have this flexibility to be able to respond to climate change rapidly.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be good. And that research is still ongoing at the moment, so I don't have the answers there yet.
And Carla, do you collect flies as well?
I do, and my specific interest is trying to understand how fast evolution might be and to what extent might evolution help mediate the negative consequences of rapid environmental change.
Must be quite quick because they breed fast, don't they, those flies?
Absolutely, and that's exactly why we use them as our model organisms. So we work with Drosophila or vinegar flies because they're useful model systems. We can make evolution happen in the laboratory and then try and make inferences back to natural populations, but also they're an insect, and we know that insects make up the vast majority of biodiversity on Earth. And so we hope to gain valuable insight into the extent to which species might persist or go extinct under climate change by working with one group of insects to then make broader generalities.
This morning I called them fruit flies, but you call them vinegar flies.
Well, if you're being really strict, then fruit flies belong to a different genus. They're tephritid flies, so they're the Mediterranean fruit fly, which cause massive agricultural damage to crops. These strictly speaking, vinegar flies, but because many of these species are found around your compost heap and fruit farms, people also call them fruit flies.
Phew, so I'm not wrong. Not something I have to unlearn yet again. Okay, well, how are you developing this work?
Well, it started with work that Vanessa and I collaborated with when she was doing her PhD, where we wanted to know why some species are restricted to the wet tropics of Australia, whereas other species that are closely related to them have much wider distributions. And so we were puzzling as to how could we perhaps explain why some species are specialist and specialise in their climate niche, whereas others have broader distributions. And so we started wondering whether the ability to adapt and evolve in response to changing environments might help explain those quite large differences in the distribution and abundance of species.
Well, we know there are plenty of animals, including flies, that have moved south because the north is hotter. Have you been tracking the rate at which this is happening?
We've just started doing that. There are some species of Drosophila or fruit fly that we work with that we think are expanding their range. And so I guess the thing with climate change is that some species' ranges will contract, they just won't have the capacity to expand, whereas others might expand their range because warmer conditions might be more favourable to them, whereas others might actually come down the east coast of Australia to cool environments, shrinking their northern part of their range and expanding their southern range. And so we have anecdotal evidence for that.
Yeah, I know vineyards have done that as well. For instance, moving vineyards from Victoria south to Tasmania because of the heat.
That's true. And actually, vineyards and winemakers have been really proactive in having to respond to climate change, even in terms of the timing of vintage and when they need to pick their fruit. They've already had to implement changes in their business practice to accommodate climate change.
Vanessa, meanwhile, have you expanded to other animals apart from flies?
No, I like to think flies are pretty cool. They're pretty important. As Carla mentioned, they make up 60% of the world's biodiversity. But we can also use these flies as a model to understand other species' responses to climate change as well. We can use it to track how species are moving southward. And in terms of pest distributions as well, this is really critical. And also understanding how crop species might change their distribution under climate change.
Do you get to work with farmers, other citizens as well?
Not yet. Most of our research is based in the lab, but definitely that is an element that we need to start integrating the current research that we're doing and turning it into policy.
Tell me, Carla, predicting, you mentioned that rather challenging word before. Are you really trying to predict change?
We're getting information from lots of different areas. So we're trying to get information about the physiology of organisms. So how does day-to-day functioning and metabolism, for example, change as the environment changes? How can we understand the extent to which populations or species have the capacity to evolve and adapt in response to those changing environmental conditions? We try and map the climatic variables themselves to understand, so how is the environment these populations experience? And then you can actually layer all of these different types of information together into quite complex models to start getting some predictive kind of maps in terms of species distribution maps that account for all of the biological aspects that underpin response to climate change, as well as measures of climate change itself, to try and get better predictions about where species may or may not end up under a range of different climate change scenarios.
Would you like to give me a prediction now?
No, other than to say that species are already moving. But I will say that there are many people interested in making predictions about where species may end up. There are values both in terms of agriculture predicting pest outbreaks, predicting the expansion of disease vectors in terms of human health. But our work is trying to inform a new suite of models that really incorporate the biology. So I can predict that species will definitely move because they've already been moving the last few decades. We have evidence that species have already started shifting their range in response to climate change.
Professor Carla Scrow with Dr. Vanessa Kellerman at Monash University, tracking those creatures as they try to adapt to the big temperature changes being announced all the time.